You're listening to a Get Abstract summary of The Art of Leadership, a book by Michael Lopp. Small things done well make a big difference in a leader's career, says Silicon Valley engineer turned executive Michael Lopp. He recounts working his way up at Netscape, Apple, and Slack in his three-part or three-act memoir covering what it means to be a manager, director, and executive. He encourages all leaders, from new managers to experienced executives, to sweat the small stuff when hiring, delegating, managing meetings, handling problematic capital S crises, controlling rumors, and more. His stories enliven even mundane topics, and he includes a chapter on no-win situations for Star Trek fans. The first takeaway is managers must listen to employees, prepare well for meetings, and handle problems with a cool head. Many new managers receive no managerial training and must learn by experience. It is hard for managers, even those a year or more into their roles, to work out the most efficient or productive way to run things. Competence in synthesizing information is an important skill for managers. They tend to sign up for too many things and don't realize they have overextended themselves, especially if they're new to management. Then they have to delegate a previous commitment or maintain all their commitments and perform poorly. Both are bad choices. Managers who don't deliver on their promises seem incompetent or lazy and signal to their team it's okay to drop assignments. Good managers use self-insight to understand their own capabilities. They also are conscientious about communicating with and meeting with their staff members, both in valuable one-on-one meetings and as a team. However, managers must prepare for these sessions. Novice managers who don't prepare for staff or one-on-one meetings by setting an agenda and considering priorities will waste everyone's time. Every manager has to cope with pressure, and many face having to deal with a high-pressure situation. Whether the crisis is small or large, managers need to use their judgment and experience to help their teams handle difficult situations. If you are a manager in a complex situation, you must consider multiple factors. Don't make decisions until you've fully processed all the available information and answered these questions. First, are you the right person to handle this unique situation? If not, who is? Second, do you have all the relevant information surrounding the situation? All essential facts, opinions, and lies? Have you talked to everyone involved? Third, do your information sources have reliable track records and are they trustworthy? Fourth, are there inconsistencies in the facts you discovered? Do these inconsistencies derive from different perspectives or is someone lying? Fifth, can you explain the different perspectives of the situation to a neutral third party? Are you aware of your own biases? Sixth, are you in an emotional state that might affect your response? And the seventh question is, go back to the first point. Are you the right person to handle this situation? It's easy to get caught up in a dramatic moment and want to drop everything to handle the situation. But to prevail, you should take a calm and measured approach. The second takeaway is managers must carry out frequent performance evaluations. Managers should conduct performance evaluations several times a year. Ask your staff members and yourself questions with diagnostic meaning, but no right or wrong answers. What are people's strengths and weaknesses? What do they need to improve? Do they feel their compensation is fair? If not, have they discussed that with their supervisor? Does their direct manager give them useful feedback? What was the last project they enjoyed? What did they learn from their last failure? When was the last time they changed jobs or companies? Why? What is their dream job or company? Why? Professional growth is a daily process. To stay aware of your own perceptions and progress, review and answer these questions often. Don't wait for an annual performance evaluation. Run this review quarterly to develop specific ideas about your own career trajectory. That will help you become a better mentor for your employees. Many managers fail at guiding their direct reports because they wait until things are bad and then have a difficult conversation. Instead, have at least three conversations. Don't send your employees emails about performance problems and then expect results. Hold one-on-one meetings. Performance management issues can take months to resolve. You and your employees should agree on what needs to be done and set milestones and a deadline to make it happen. The third takeaway is effective time management is crucial for managers. Time is a manager's most important asset. Adopting good habits will increase your efficiency and alleviate stress. One way to save time is to make your internet browser more efficient. Copy your bookmarks to a folder and delete your current bookmarks. Put news sites, blogs, or other daily consumables in a feed reader, such as Feedly. Use an ad blocker. Put no more than 5 of your most valuable tools in your browser, such as your email, calendar, and feed reader. Try to have only one browser window open at a time. Have no more than 10 tabs open at once. Turn off non-critical notifications. Find an app that blocks spam calls, texts, and emails. Delete any apps you haven't used for a week. Winnow down your email inbox by reading and unsubscribing from unwanted emails, reporting email as spam if unsubscribing doesn't work, and turning off automatic notifications. The fourth takeaway is managers who gain promotion to the director level must manage expectations, delegate, and always be recruiting. Seasoned managers get promoted into senior management positions, such as department head or director. Starting a new management position is like having contractors at your house. Think of your new job as marking any imperfections with blue tape. Make a note of any needed changes, big or small. Mentally mark them with blue tape and wait a month to see if issues that seem urgent really are. Address everything on your blue tape list. All managers must adjust to a shift in leadership responsibilities. Delegation is one of the most difficult but most necessary skills that directors or upper-level managers must master. Managers delegate small, well-defined projects to individuals. Executives at the top of the ladder delegate large, complex projects to cross-functional teams or departments and then exercise limited oversight. In between those two levels are senior managers, directors, and senior directors with gradually increasing responsibilities to delegate. Directors must spend a minimum of an hour a day up to a maximum of 50% of their time recruiting for every open position on their team. Recruiting involves screening resumes and applications, conducting phone and in-person interviews, making an offer, and then hiring. This process can take up to 6 months in some cases. Spending half your time recruiting is worth the effort and ultimately makes your business run more smoothly. The fifth takeaway is directors must run efficient meetings, work well with remote employees, and provide constructive feedback. Meetings aren't popular, but they do offer opportunities to address problems and handle rumors and gossip. Well-run meetings feature healthy discussion and debate about 95% of the time. Allocate someone as a meeting runner who will organize the session, set the agenda, and manage the meeting's flow. Assign a second person as a meeting historian to keep the minutes and follow up afterward. The meeting historian should capture everything and distribute the minutes to everyone in the company. This helps prevent the spread of gossip. For meetings that don't occur on a regular schedule, directors should use a three-point agenda. A first item is a minimal metric story. Minimal metrics are whatever the team measures regularly, revenue, application performance, security incidents, and the like. The second item is rolling team-sourced topics. These are agenda items that team members added at the end of a previous meeting to slate them to be addressed at the next meeting. And the third item is gossip, rumors, and lies. Give your employees a safe space to discuss issues and find out facts. This is especially important if the team or the company is going through a transition period with the potential for confusion and concern. Today, many employees work remotely and companies use high-tech video and audio conferencing equipment to conduct meetings. Many companies use the term remote to describe employees who work off-site, that is, from home. However, distributed turns out to be a better term because it means elsewhere rather than far from center, as remote implies. Regardless of terminology, realize that off-site employees suffer a professional disadvantage. Never let them feel that their contributions don't matter. Distributed meetings are hard to run compared to meetings when everyone is present. But give your distributed meetings and your distant team members the same attention and care that they would receive in person at an on-site meeting. Compliments go a long way. Recognize how someone accomplished an achievement, whether it's large or small. On the flip side, saying the hard thing is just as important as giving compliments. Managers often ignore that voice inside their head calling out potential future problems because they want to avoid confrontation. Constructive feedback falls into three categories: no big deal, slow burn, and just plain hard feedback. With the first category, the person accepts the feedback and moves on. Ideally, all feedback would fall into this bucket. Slow burn feedback feels like it should not be a big deal until it hits the person later on that they received important information. Difficult feedback is hard to hear because the human brain is wired to fight it. Listen carefully to hard feedback so you understand it and repeat it back for clarification. Taking that step is calming and helps the guidance sink in. The sixth takeaway is, executives should smooth the gaps among different cultures within the company. Many corporate cultures divide into two groups of employees, the old guard and the new guard. The old guard is made up of the first employees hired at the beginning of a company. They're proud of their products and corporate culture. The old guard was so successful, the company hired a new guard. Eventually, the new guard gets to know the old guard, but the new guard feels less empowered. People in the old guard don't ask people in the new guard for help because they don't trust them. Executives must understand the dynamics of these groups, leading them through the process of building trust, so they unite and they eventually become the guard. The seventh takeaway is, executives benefit from having a mentor. Executives have at least one boss, often a busy CEO who expects them to manage their departments competently without asking for help except when absolutely necessary. Hopefully, if you're an executive and something blows up in a department under your supervision, you have competent directors to help you put out fires. Just remain aware that the buck stops with you. Executives need an external sounding board. Author Michael Lopp's mentor was Marty, an external coach he hired when he was first promoted to director. He asked Marty to conduct a 360-degree performance evaluation. Marty held in-depth 30 to 60-minute interviews with Lopp's coworkers, his direct reports, his manager, and his manager's peers. Marty answered Lopp's questions about feedback from his interviews without betraying any confidence and told Lopp to sleep on what he had learned. They maintained a trusting relationship for years. Finally, in a world in which leaders can choose to be anything, choose to be unfailingly kind.